Upheaval, Breaking Point, Chapter 33, Silken Darkness.
I have to attend the general logistics meeting, Hammerchain told Rarity. Just watch the smithy and do what you can for the day. I'll take care of any orders meant for me as soon as I get back.
With that, Rarity's new teacher left the smithy to her care, a prospect that filled her with both a sense of achievement and nervousness. It was flattering that she had only been Hammerchain's apprentice for a few days, but he was willing to leave his shop to her care. That trust made the prospect of disappointing him even more nerve-wracking. Fortunately, she didn't have to do it alone. Spike had come along to assist her. The forge was ablaze with green flames. Hammerchain was a little suspicious of using dragon breath for forging at first, but he eventually decided that there were no side effects and that it was a quick way to start up the forge. With Hammerchain gone, however, Rarity didn't have much use for the forge. She asked Spike to keep it going in case he came back early or if she needed to make bolt heads and buckles, the two things that she had learned how to forge so far. She had to admit that metalwork did give her as much of a sense of satisfaction as piecing together a dress. The ridiculous amount of heat from working at a smithy and the sweat that accompanied it, on the other hoof, left much to be desired.
"I hope he comes back soon," Rarity said. She had been looking forward to a lesson today, sweltering forge heat and all.
She pulled out the first order of the day, a tattered piece of leather. Last night the Pegasi of Reconnaissance went out on a successful raid, having burnt down plenty of the Woven Army's supplies. However, success came with a price. By the time morning rolled in, there was plenty of damaged leather barding making their way to Hammerchain's smithy.
"I don't," Spike said. "My back's still a little sore from all that stuff he had me lift yesterday."
"You did say you wanted to help, Spike," Rarity replied. "Hammerchain was just being prudent, that's all." Spike stretched his back out and groaned.
"I didn't know prudence was so painful," he muttered.
"Oh, come now. You should be glad that the Legion has a place for you."
Rarity lifted a chest piece with her magic. The straps that held it together had all but rotten off.
"Goodness, just look at this. You'd think that legionnaires would know better than to leave leather to soak in water. This one simply has to go. Spike, be a dear and fetch me those scissors, will you?"
Spike was quick to jump at the request. He found the scissors on top of a nearby crate and handed it over.
"Here you go," he said.
The scissors had just been enveloped by Rarity's magic when the door to the shop opened. Both of them looked towards the smithy's first visitor.
"Our sincerest apologies," she began. "Master Hammerchain isn't available at the moment, and oh, my stars!"
It took all of Rarity's willpower to keep her jaw from dropping, but she was still reduced to silent staring when she saw who had entered. Beside her, Spike didn't even get to say a thing before being reduced to a white-eyed statue. Standing by the doorway was a beautiful unicorn mare. Her coat was a lustrous golden-tinged white, while her flowing golden mane and tail were mere inches from the floor. She had soft gray eyes that looked past sweeping eyelashes. She was wearing a woven fur coat to protect against the cold outside, but the fur was pristine white rather than gray.
"A pity," the unicorn said. "Fortunately, I'm not looking for Hammerchain at the moment. I was hoping to find his new apprentice."
"New apprentice?"
Rarity asked. She looked around in a panic. She had never heard of...
"Wait," she said. "I'm the new apprentice. You're looking for me?"
The unicorn laughed briefly.
"Yes, I am," she replied.
Her silky deep tone sent tingles down Rarity's spine. With her magic, she lifted what appeared to be a legionnaire's mage coat that had been draped over her back.
"I saw you the other day wearing a splendidly designed mage coat. Would you modify mine for me in the same manner? I will pay a fee for your troubles, of course."
I certainly would," Rarity answered. "It's an honor that you would find my design splendid, Miss,
you may call me Brightflame. I am but a minor noble from Hearthstone City to the south."
"Nobility," Rarity thought.
"No wonder. This is a good chance for me to impress."
The prospect of encountering nobility in Prince Tirado's realm had been in the back of Rarity's mind since they had arrived. The Northern Barrier Land was a hard and savage place, a wilderness uninfluenced by ponies and besieged by both freezing weather and monstrous creatures. Still, she had held out a hope that, farther away from where the fighting was at its worst, there was elegance and sophistication. It had started out as a small hope within her when she had first arrived from the Heartland. It had become a resolve, a full-blown principle even, when she first held up the mage blades crafted by Hammerchain. Just because something is dangerous doesn't mean that it can't be beautiful as well. The barrier lands, with all the violence and savagery within them, still had plenty of room for class and nobility. Lady Brightflame just proved her right.
"It is my pleasure to meet you, Lady Brightflame," Rarity said. She was beaming inside at the thought that a noble had taken notice of her, even all the way out here, but she took care to maintain a composed exterior. She had already embarrassed herself earlier.
"My name is Rarity."
"The pleasure is mine, Rarity," Brightflame replied. "I never imagined that I would one day meet one of Princess Celestia's chosen."
The word chosen brought Rarity up short. She had heard the word spoken plenty of times. Often it was said with derision. At best, it was said in indifference. This was the first time she had heard the word spoken as if it was something praiseworthy.
"Why, thank you," she replied. "I'll get to work on it right away."
Rarity put aside the leather barding she had been cutting up. This was nobility she was talking about. Of course, it was going to take top priority.
"It should be ready in a couple of hours."
"I will wait then," Brightflame said.
She sat by one corner of the forge.
"I hope you don't mind observers. I would love to see how you work."
A little flattered, Rarity coughed nervously.
"I don't mind," she said. "But it is rather warm in here with the forge and everything. Are you sure you'll be fine?"
"Staying in Bastion City has accustomed me to small discomforts," Brightflame replied.
She focused on Spike, who hadn't stopped staring during the entire conversation.
"I dare say it has been worse being trapped within this city by a woven attack, to encounter both a chosen and a dragon. What is your name, little one?"
Realizing that Brightflame was talking to him, Spike whipped his mouth with the back of his claw before answering.
It's Spike," he said. "It's really wonderful to meet you, Lady Brightflame. It's almost worth getting banished. Ow!"
He clutched his tail and looked behind him. Rarity was walking off to begin her modifications when she had trod on his tail.
"Oops, sorry about that, Spike."
"A young dragon together with a chosen," Brightflame mused aloud.
"You must have a fascinating tail, Spike."
Her horn flashed a dark aura, catching Rarity's attention briefly.
"That's odd," Rarity thought. "Did she just cast a spell? I don't see anything happening."
Figuring it to be her imagination, she went back to work.
"Oh, I can tell you all about it," Spike said.
Despite his throbbing tail, he was eager to impress. Brightflame leaned over with interest, a slight smile covering her lips.
"Please do," she said. "I wouldn't mind starting at the beginning."
Spike started to grin a little foolishly when the unicorn mare turned her soft gray eyes on him.
Right, he replied. "From the beginning it is."
An hour passed as Rarity worked on Brightflame's mage coat. She realized that she could be working faster, but her attention kept getting drawn to Brightflame, who sat there listening intently while Spike told stories about the Heartland. At first, she was worried that Spike would quickly bore Brightflame with his stories, but Brightflame seemed to enjoy every word. Spike had not been joking when he said that he was starting at the very beginning. His first story was his first meeting with Twilight, which was just after he had hatched. From there, he launched into anecdote after anecdote. As Rarity listened, she soon found herself marveling not just at Brightflame's beauty and patience, but the depths of Spike's stories as well. For someone so young, Spike had an incredible ability to remember events. He had an encyclopedic mind and an eye for details, both likely owned by years of being Twilight's unofficial secretary and housekeeper. He told stories of Twilight's foalhood and her studies, likely better than even the actual pony could ever tell them. When his stories began to dip into his time in Ponyville, however, that was when things began to get a little embarrassing. Every time Spike's tales wandered a little too close for comfort, Rarity would clear her throat to warn him away. As the morning wore on, she was hoarse from clearing her throat too much, and her progress with the mage coat was slower than expected. Through it all, Bright Flame smiled and nodded, chuckling at every bit of attempted humor on Spike's part. Rarity couldn't tell if it was genuine mirth or sheer politeness. Bright Flame also asked questions, mostly about Twilight's relationship with Princess Celestia and the elements of harmony, but she was also interested in Spike's ability to send out his friendship reports.
"Amazing," Bright Flame said. "Not only can your breath behave like any flame, but you can transport physical objects before Princess Celestia herself?"
"That's right," Spike answered proudly.
"Truly a remarkable race."
Rarity felt something stifling her and wondered if it was the heat from the forge or Spike's ego slowly filling up the shop.
"It's true," Spike's tone lowered. "But I can't do it anymore, not since we ended up here."
"Why not?"
"I don't know. I tried it with a blank piece of paper and it just reappeared a few feet away. I guess Princess Celestia doesn't want to receive anything from us anymore."
The atmosphere within the smithy darkened with that statement. Without missing a beat, Bright Flame simply smiled and shook her head.
"Nonsense. The distance and the barrier may simply be interfering. If Princess Celestia didn't want to receive anything from you, you would have burnt that piece of paper up. Take heart, eventually you and your friends will figure out a way to overcome that obstacle."
True to her namesake, Bright Flame dispersed the gloomy atmosphere with ease. She glanced briefly at the forge, which continued to blaze with green flames before refocusing her attention on Spike.
"You're right," Spike replied.
He returned her smile and continued talking. It was almost noon when Rarity was finally done. She held it up for inspection and looked over every detail carefully. This was her first piece for Barrier Land's nobility. She couldn't afford to mess up.
"And that's everything that's happened until this very day," Spike said.
"You've certainly led a wondrous life, Spike," Bright Flame remarked. "Thank you for sharing your story with me." She looked at Rarity. "I am more honored than ever to actually meet the bearer of the element of generosity itself, as well as the bearer of the element of magic's close companion."
"It was my pleasure," Spike said earnestly.
He looked a little disappointed that he had reached the end of his story. Rarity found herself blushing slightly at the compliment as well.
"Your mage coat is ready," she said.
She held it up with her magic for Bright Flame to inspect.
"Splendid, as I expected. Shall we discuss your fee?"
Rarity smiled and shook her head.
"Free of charge," she said. "Having nobility wear something of my design for the first time in the Barrier Land is more than enough."
Bright Flame looked a little surprised at first, but quickly matched Rarity's smile with her own.
"As befitting of the element of generosity," she said. "If you will not take any payment, then let me bequeath you with a gift instead."
She lifted a single golden coin from one of her coat's pockets and gave it to Rarity. Rarity enveloped the trinket with her own telekinesis as it floated towards her. She turned it around to admire it. The coin was 3 times larger than a bit and engraved with an 8-rayed sun at its center. At the center of the sun was the engraving of an eye with a small, brilliant ruby for an iris.
"Keep it as a proof that you are always welcome in my estate at Heartstone City," Bright Flame said. "Show it to other nobility so they will know that you have a friend among them."
"Thank you,"
Rarity replied, barely able to contain her excitement. The coin was more than enough payment for 10 of those modified mage coats.
"I have one for you too, Spike, for being good company,"
Bright Flame said as she leaned over and nudged him with her nose. Spike nearly fainted from the gesture.
"For a dragon dependent on so much by his friends, I have something more practical."
A small black sphere floated out of her coat's pocket. Spike seemed to recognize that sphere.
"Is that a mana battery, like the one Twilight used to get here?"
he asked. Rarity remembered the gem she had found that had started all of this, then looked at the sphere that Brightflame was now offering Spike. She had her misgivings, but such a kind mare like Brightflame must have a good reason to offer such a gift.
Yes and no, Brightflame said. This is the replenishment mana battery. It can be used to boost a spell like a normal one. It can also be used to restore the magic of a unicorn who has burned herself out from casting too many spells. From what you've told me, your dear friend, Twilight Sparkle, is in danger of that.
Yes, that's right, Spike said. This would definitely come in useful.
I would also suggest that you keep it a secret resource, to be used by your discretion alone. If Twilight Sparkle were to find out about it, she may just use it to boost one of her spells in her drive to master this realm's magic.
That's also true, but why give it to me?
Because you are the wisest out of all your friends, Spike. In so many of your stories, your friends would have come out much better if they had only listened to you. You would know best when to make use of it. If the worst comes to pass and Twilight Sparkle has depleted most of her magic, hold the sphere above her and will its power to flow into her. She will be glad to have someone like you watching out for her all along. Spike stared at the sphere. He looked a little suspicious at first, but upon hearing how he could use it to help Twilight Sparkle, he looked glad for such a gift.
I'll keep it as you say, he told Bright Flame. Thanks a lot.
Think nothing of it, Bright Flame said. She headed towards the door with her new mage coat. I must take my leave now. Thank you again for this mage coat, Rarity.
Both Rarity and Spike waved fondly as Bright Flame walked away. They found themselves still staring long after the unicorn was gone. As Rarity closed the door, however, she put a hoof to her head and stumbled forward slightly.
Oh my, she said. My head feels a little heavy all of a sudden.
Me too, Spike replied. Where did this come from?
I'm sure it is nothing, Rarity said.
She looked over Bright Flame's gift once more and put it inside one of her mage coat's pockets. Despite Hammerchain's absence, today had been very profitable indeed. As Too Cold has expected, his sudden disappearance during yesterday's afternoon training resulted in punishment. He considered himself fortunate that he and Applejack had not been whipped. However, he was stuck with the particularly tedious job of training dummy making. The Legion went through the wooden cutouts of Woven quite quickly. Reconnaissance eventually destroyed them with crossbow practice, while Magical burned through them even faster.
This is the last time I let you drag me into your shenanigans, Applejack, he muttered. This ain't too bad,
Applejack replied while she whittled away at her own piece of wood. It was an hour past noon already, and they were just about done.
We're still helping the Legion, aren't we? It's better than getting whipped. Oh, so that's the standard now, is it? I swear...
Too Cold stopped himself as he saw a familiar pony out of the corner of his eye.
Cover for me, will you?
He asked Applejack. Without waiting for a reply, he dashed towards a nearby alley where he saw the pony. As he had guessed, he found none other than Lady Brightflame standing before him.
My lady,
he said. He knelt in respect.
It's dangerous to be out here, Zara.
I know, Too Cold, Brightflame replied. I would not come out here if it wasn't important. I have terrible news. Most of the Order stationed here have been discovered by Prince Terrado's special operations ponies and killed. Too Cold's eyes widened. He was grateful that he was already kneeling as he now doubted his leg's ability to keep him standing.
Most of the Order, Lady Brightflame had said. For all he knew, he was the only pony that hadn't been caught by special operations. How had this happened? Was there a spy among them? Had some pony committed such a terrible error that the order was found out?
What should be done now, my lady?
He asked.
This will be the last time I will meet with you, Too Cold, Bright Flame answered. There are agents of special operations all around, and we will be discovered if we are not careful. I will contact you through Misyphus after this.
Understood. What are my orders now?
You have done well in befriending Applejack. It's time to put that bond to good use. Here is what I want you to do.
Dukold listened to his order intently. With the order gone, he was the only pony left that still served Equestria's true ruler. More than ever, he couldn't fail.
Dukold!
Applejack called out. Go now, Brightflame said. Be careful, Dukold. With that, she hurried and disappeared after turning a corner. Dukold looked at her until she was gone before concentrating on getting back.
I'm here,
he answered. He emerged from an alley and walked towards Applejack.
Are we done?
He asked.
Yup, no thanks to you,
Applejack said.
Where'd you run off to anyway? I saw an old acquaintance of mine. I had to talk to her. You could have introduced us, you know. She's a shy type. Besides, one of us had to keep on working. Uh-huh. You owe me now, Dukold. You mean we're even.
The two of them headed back to their platoon while carrying the load of training dummies on their backs.